2 weeks ago, Islamic terrorists rocked America with three separate attacks. These attacks are emblematic of an alarming reality. Never before has this country been so cursed. There's only one way to reverse the curse, and you won't find it in a political movement or a national leader. Discover the true story of America's blessings. Learn what is needed to make America great again. Next on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
Greetings, everyone. America has just experienced three terrorist attacks in one weekend recently, and we're facing, some authorities say, we're not only fighting this war against terrorism, but we also are facing a race war, or others will say, well, we're facing a civil war, because there's never been such division in this land. Now, we've already had one civil war, and that was in 1861 through 1865. And in one battle of Gettysburg, the United States lost 48,000 men. We only lost 58,000 in the 10-year war in Vietnam. Gary Wills wrote about Lincoln at Gettysburg and said shortly after the war at Gettysburg, the farmers had to plant their fields and their gardens around the dead bodies. And it was either that or they had to dig up the rotting corpses and do something with them themselves. Soon the relatives came, though, and began to rifle through all of the graves trying to find their loved ones. And even when they would then get them and bury them, they would sometimes run or hit other bodies who were in shallow graves. So it was quite a grisly scene there in Gettysburg. For 3 weeks after the war, people still found legs and arms and heads protruding out of the ground. The little town of Gettysburg only had 2,500 people, and here they now were having to be the cemetery of 48,000 soldiers. And that, is, of course, is where Lincoln made his most important speech, the Gettysburg Address. But President Lincoln and the North won the war, and as far as did bring unity to this nation. And it wasn't won the way almost all people think it was won. There was a reason why the war was won. And it is a lesson that we need to learn, because you can take this lesson and win any war you have. I don't care what kind of war it is. You can win it. This is a giant lesson, and it surely would teach us how to win the terrorist war. And we need to learn it, and we need to learn it now, and we don't have that much time. I want to read just a few quotes from about what Lincoln said. He said, just a few months before the battle at Gettysburg, the North had lost victories in Chancellorsville and Fredericksburg. And Abraham Lincoln went to his room, he locked the door, got down on his knees, and prayed to God for victory at Gettysburg, because he really thought they might lose the war. It says here that he prayed to God, according to Wayne Whipple, one of his biographers, that God would give him victory. And he made a vow to God and said, "If you give us victory, I will stand by you and I will take a stand for you every opportunity I have." And I think Abraham Lincoln fulfilled it very well. He also made this statement, "Whereas joint committee of both houses of Congress has waited on the President of the United States and requested him to recommend a day of public humiliation, prayer, and fasting to be observed by the people of the United States with religious solemnities and the offering of fervent supplications to Almighty God for the safety and welfare of these states." Imagine that. Both houses of Congress got together and appealed to the president, and all of them decided that they wanted to make this public and get the whole nation into a day of fasting and prayer. Now, just imagine the president of the United States had these two huge battles before Gettysburg, and it looked like the North would just lose the war. And he and Congress, both houses of Congress, took this to the people and wanted to establish a day of fasting and prayer, and they even said humiliation, to humble themselves, he meant. And that's quite an act then in that civil war. Now here we are in a terrorist war. What are we going to do when we're facing problems far greater, frankly, than Abraham Lincoln did? What are we going to do? We interact with the entire world, and you see all the problems out there. And could you think we could get Congress to come together, and also the president, and we'd go and take both parties and beseech God, and or take it before the people and beseech God to give us unity and joy and happiness as one man in this nation? Well, I don't think that's going to happen. Certainly not at this point. Never has there been a nation so deeply divided, bitterly divided, as this nation. And it means, well, a divided nation cannot stand. That's what Abraham Lincoln told them. It can't stand. Well, we ought to know that. But let me read you another quote from Abraham Lincoln. He concludes this by saying, "Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity for redeeming and preserving grace. Too proud to pray to the God that made us. Too proud to pray to the God that made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness." And of course, that at the time included the sin of slavery. And it was changed. But what would it take to get America to do this? Our problems are even worse, really, if you think about it. But are we too proud to pray to the God that created us? Are we too proud to do that? Well, I'll tell you, President Lincoln made some searing corrections to the people and told them the truth, and then he set the example for them. He didn't tell them to do something he wouldn't do. He was going to show them how to do it. And it made a real impact and really, frankly, brought a lot of people to their knees. And they got through to God in an amazing way. Look at what happened at Gettysburg. It all started just before that. Here is another proclamation that Mr. Lincoln made. "It is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord." Pretty powerful statement from the president of these United States. Lincoln is thought by many to be the greatest president we ever had. And let me tell you, most of those people don't know really why he was so great. But this is the reason. This attitude and this spirit of crying out to God and making that vow to God changed the course of the war. And that's something we need to be thinking about very seriously at this time. Mr. Lincoln goes on to say, "We have been the recipients of the choicest blessings of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown, but we have forgotten God. Well, could we say that today? Look, I have to tell you, it's much worse today. I mean, those people had kept spiritual principles and had spiritual understanding far greater than what we have today. I know some people are going to disagree with that, but I'll tell you, you better look around, and if you're looking at your Bible, you know that something is terribly wrong in America. Now, we've been telling people for over 70 years that they have forsaken God. Our people are forsaken God. But we can correct that. There is a way to correct that. It's up to us. Abraham Lincoln decided what had to be done and did it, and it worked beautifully. What a wonderful ending, and of course made America great in many ways. So he wasn't too proud to pray to the God who created him. What folly that is for a little puny human being, a worm, too proud to pray to God, too proud to cry out to God to help us solve the problems of this nation, and it's the only way they're going to be solved. The only way. He goes on to say, we have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. We have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Well, now, that is an amazing insight Mr. Lincoln had there. Again, we've been telling you for 70 years that the reason America had all this wealth and all these blessings is because God gave them to this nation as a birthright nation, as He did to Britain. That nation also is a birthright nation and has had all these gifts and blessings because of just the right of birth. And they received them because of another Abraham who was obedient to God, totally trusting God. And God made all of these promises to his descendants. Now that is something we prove in our book on the United States and Britain in prophecy. And we've been just trying to get people to understand this. And we've sent out well over 5 million copies of the United States and Britain in prophecy to help people understand that. That these are special blessings that God has given. And he says, now, if you forsake me, I'll take them away. It says that in many biblical prophecies. How can we take that lightly if we really, really believe in God? And if we don't believe in him, well, it isn't going to be long until you do, because he's about to come. He's about to come to this earth because this earth is about to annihilate all human life and all life, period, unless Jesus Christ returned to this earth and stopped it. Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22 tell you that. So, why was Abraham Lincoln so great? Well, you can see it in these quotations, really. And yet, most historians will not bring this to you like they should and tell you why he was great and why Americans were united under one president and one leader, and it only achieved its greatness that way. If it weren't for God and his intervention, well, we'd have been divided all over the place already. It's amazing how fundamental this is. And here is a president that practiced all of this and set this example for us. And how much do you hear about it today? You mostly don't even teach history. This is some of the most important history you'll ever read in your life from any American history book. And yet, It's hardly mentioned in most books anyhow, but let me tell you, this is history that should be taught to every child in this land. And we are suffering because we don't make that the case. And we don't have the spirit of Abraham Lincoln. We don't have the greatness. We're too proud before the God that created us. And we have forsaken Him. And we need to correct that. And great things will happen. And we're going to have to correct it. God's going to keep intensifying the taking away of the blessings until we get the message. That's what 100 Bible prophecies tell us. Here's another statement from Mr. Lincoln. And whereas when our beloved country, once by the blessing of God, united, prosperous, and happy, is now afflicted with faction and war, we need to humble ourselves before Him and pray for His mercy, to pray that we may be spared further punishment, though most justly deserved. God punished them, and Abraham Lincoln said, it is justly deserved what God is doing and the punishment He has brought upon America. That's a pretty revealing statement, and certainly a rebuke to the American people. And they responded to it. Would we respond to any president today who made such a statement? I don't think so. Would Congress get together and become united if a president stated, quoted Abraham Lincoln and said we ought to do the same today? Would they unite and come together? It's hard to imagine that happening. But I tell you, there is going to come a time when they will. That is prophesied. God says through all the suffering we're going to go through that will cause us to get to know God, because today we don't know Him. We've forsaken Him. We've forgotten Him. But He's very much alive, and we need to understand that. So Mr. Lincoln said he appointed a certain day for this fasting and prayer and humiliation, as they called it. So God wants all of us to repent of our problems, any racism or anything like that, or crimes, or breaking the Ten Commandments. He wants us to repent, all of us, to repent of our sins, and that will solve our problems. It will do it. But America was punished. He said, look, let's think about both the North and the South being guilty. Everybody. Let's think about everybody being guilty. Well, everybody tolerated it, talking about slavery. We're all guilty. Let's think about that. And let's think about a new cause of revering God and applying the justice of God in our land, the justice of God and the goodness of God. And I think in that way, certainly there has been great progress in America. It all started with Abraham Lincoln. And we have to be concerned about our sins, whether you're talking about an individual or a collective body. God says, you do what I tell you. You do what Abraham Lincoln is saying here, and I will bless your life like nobody could ever imagine. Of course, the greatest blessings of all are the spiritual blessings. All races need to thank God for His blessings and for being in this nation to enjoy the blessings that came from God because of Abraham's obedience. He was ready to sacrifice his only son, a type of Jesus Christ and God the Father, just to obey God. That's how much he believed God. And what blessings God poured out upon that man. If you look at Isaiah 30 in verse 8, you'll see that Isaiah wrote his prophecies before Israel in tables or tablets. And then he also, it said, he noted it in a book. That's Isaiah 30 in verse 8. And all of this is for the time to come. And that means the latter days. So the very book of Isaiah is in the Bible. because it is primarily for today, prophecy for us today. Isaiah 41 and verse 22 talks about duality. We find all kinds of duality in the Bible. But let me read to you what it says here in Isaiah 1, and you'll find out what Abraham Lincoln ascertained years ago. The vision of Isaiah the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. Just everybody, the angels and all the inhabitants of the earth, everybody give ear. And that includes the demons and Satan and everybody else. He's certainly wants them to be aware of everything that's going to happen, and they're learning lessons in that sense. They know God is going to do what He says. They know that, but they won't obey it. And so that's why He decided to recreate Himself in man so we could rule over the entire earth and the universe. And what a glorious reward He offers us if we will today turn many to righteousness. I mean, He says, you're going to shine like the stars forever and ever. That's one of my favorite scriptures in all the Bible. But you have to turn people, you have to work to turn people to God. Help Him turn people to God today, and God is going to protect them and bless them and see that their families are safe. Now, those are blessings that we all should want very badly. God says here, the Lord has spoken, and I have nourished you, that is Israel, and brought up children or sons, and they have rebelled against me. That's talking specifically about America and Britain, and we prove that time and time again. Verse 3, the ox knows his owner and the ass his master's crib, but Israel does not know, my people does not consider. My people, the people of Israel who have a history with God, they don't know. The ox knows where his owner is, but they don't know where their Creator is. And they don't know God. And they've forsaken Him, and they won't return to God as that ox returns to his owner. Amazing that. And then God goes on to say, they are gone away backward. Why should you be stricken anymore? Why don't you do something? Why should you be stricken anymore? All these crises we have and that we're facing, and yet God says, well, why do you just keep seeing all of these bloody crimes and acts of terrorism and race problems? Stop being stricken like you are by these sins and the terrible results of them. He says in verse 5, you will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. That's just a carte blanche statement there, that everything is confused and wrong and all just done the backward way. It's all backwards, God says. We have forsaken God. We're doing just the opposite of what we ought to be doing if we want to solve our problems. Notice what He says in verses 6 and 7, from the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devoured in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. Well, look at that. You see, it's going to get worse. It's going to keep getting worse if we don't learn what God wants us to understand. He's guaranteeing us that He will deliver us from all these problems. Notice verse 15, here is what happens because of our sins. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make prayer, many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. All kinds of sins and The blood is being shed because we don't have God solving our problems. And he just says that if you can offer up many prayers and I won't hear you. So that's the worst possible problem you could have, is not getting through to God. And then he says in verse 18, well, come and let us reason together. I'll reason with you. I'll talk to you. And then he goes on and says in verses 19 and 20, well, I'll give you all the good of the land, the prosperity, all the wonderful blessings, plus the spiritual blessings. See, this is why America remained united. Abraham Lincoln saw what they had to do, and this is the only way we can ever solve those terrible problems that we're living with today. This is the only way to do it. There is no other way. And they'll just keep intensifying and intensifying until we learn that lesson. That's what God is trying to teach us today. Until next week, this is Gerald Flurry. Goodbye, friends.
America is a nation founded on biblical principles. As it has become increasingly secular, its curses have only increased. Is this a coincidence? Request our free booklet, The Ten Commandments, to learn why God wrote these laws thousands of years ago for the ancient Israelites. Does God expect mankind to observe the Ten Commandments today, or have they become obsolete? What is the true intent and meaning of the Ten Commandments? The key to lasting happiness lies within the most perfect set of rules ever created. To learn how the Ten Commandments can permanently change your life for the better, study our free booklet, The Ten Commandments. You will also receive a free DVD and transcript of the Key of David program, Thanksgiving. In 1863, during the height of the Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln made two proclamations. One was a proclamation of prayer and fasting to express repentance towards God for the many national sins that caused the war. The other was a proclamation of thanksgiving for the many national blessings that the people didn't earn nor deserve. Lincoln understood the correlation between honoring God and thriving as an individual or as a nation. Do you? Request a free DVD and transcript of the Key of David program, Thanksgiving. Accompanying your order will be Lesson 14 of the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. The course has helped thousands learn the true meaning of current events and the true purpose for life. You can prove that the Bible was written for the present day and is relevant to your life. Request Lesson 14 of the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Order the Ten Commandments booklet, free Key of David multimedia, and Bible Correspondence Course Lesson 14 today. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629.